Bible this morning. You'll turn to Luke chapter 2. This morning's Sunday school lesson is, I'm going to revisit that again this morning. For those of you who may not have been able to be here for Sunday school, we encourage you to be a part of our Sunday school program. Our attendance is, of course, during the holidays, we know our attendance is going to be down, but even during some of the best times of the most active times for the church, our attendance for Sunday school has been probably in the 60s and maybe climbs up to the 70 number occasionally, but it ought to be better than that. I mean, we have a wonderful Sunday school program here, and Charlie is faithful to have all of the materials that that you need as a Sunday school student available to you. And so we encourage you, if you're not participating in the Sunday school program, maybe you don't have the transportation to get here that early. I'm sure that we have transportation available that can get you here slightly earlier in the morning. I appreciate all of our Sunday school teachers. I appreciate Charlie and Chris, who lead our Sunday school program. But sometimes it's disappointing when you work to build the Sunday school program, and yet folks just don't seem to be interested. We do appreciate you, though, for being here on Sunday mornings for the worship hour. We would just love to see you come and be a part of our Sunday school program as well. Often during this time of the year, we ask ourselves, how can we serve Christ better in the coming year? And I'm sure that you as a Christian have, as you look back over the last year, you find places where the Holy Spirit may have moved upon you in a powerful way to do something, to serve the Lord or to serve someone else, or serve the Lord by serving somebody else. And maybe you failed to follow through in that drawing. And so as you look back, you think to yourself, well, as I go into the new year, one of my New Year's resolutions is going to be to try to listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit, try to be a little more obedient to God's will in my life and in serving Him and serving others. One way for sure, by standing firm in your faith and sharing your faith with others, is by studying God's Word, being prepared to give answers for your faith, being obedient to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And by virtue of that, we need to be standing firm in our faith, and we need to be sharing our faith. I've always believed that the more you share your faith, the more confident you are in sharing your faith. There's some people that say, well, I just don't have the confidence. I just don't feel like God has called me to go out and to minister or to witness. I think He's called me to be working in the church and maybe doing this job in the church or that job in the church. But let me share this with you. Every Christian, the Bible teaches that every Christian is called to witness on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have jobs, that specific jobs that God calls us to. Jeanette teaching our young people the morning children's sermon is something that God has laid upon her heart, and she's doing that. Those that stepped in to lead the Christmas program this year, no doubt the Holy Spirit moved upon them to volunteer to do that, and they were obedient to that. Those that participated in the Christmas program, those that serve in the Christmas, or those that serve in the Sunday school program as teachers, God no doubt has moved upon their hearts to serve there. But regardless of what that particular position in the church is that you are serving and working, you are still a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, not just in the church, but also in your life's work outside the church. In our Sunday School Quarterly this morning, the question is asked, why are many people often hesitant to talk to others about religion? Why are many people often hesitant to talk to others about religion? Now, I want you to bear with me this morning. I'm going to get to Luke chapter 2. But as Martha and I were studying the Sunday School lesson this past week, we ask ourselves these questions, and this particular question just kind of laid on my heart heavy, and the Lord began to speak to my heart, and I began to write it down, and I'm going to share it with you this morning. Religion covers a wide field, so I'd rather ask the question, why are so many Christians often hesitant to talk to others about their faith? And I suggest that a lack of knowledge of one's faith would certainly be a good reason. Many know what they believe, but they just don't know why they believe it. And this presents quite a problem for Christians when they are trying to share their faith with others, and someone will ask them, well, why do you believe that? And the Christian is hard-pressed to cite chapter and verse in the Holy Scriptures, and so they rather keep quiet and let others do the talking. And I'm wondering if you might be that type of Christian this morning. You believe in Christ, but you just don't have the knowledge to be able to share the Lord Jesus Christ in any effective way, and so you'd rather just be quiet and not share your faith rather than to speak out on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and somebody ask you a question that you don't have the answer to. But the question is, how eager are you this morning to share your faith with others? How confident are you in sharing your faith with others? As Martha and I were sharing this very question a Saturday morning, Martha said, you can only share what you know. Isn't that true? That's absolutely the truth. You can only share what you know. And there's a positive and there's a negative to that statement. There is a positive and there's a negative to that statement. Let me share this with you. The positive is that no matter how little you might know about your faith, if you are willing to share that little bit with others, by sharing that little bit with others will always strengthen you and lead you to want to share your faith more, to know more about Christ, more about the gospel, more about the principal foundations of your faith. Knowledge in God's Word leads us to greater testimony and builds our confidence in Christ and in our ability to rightly divide the Word of truth. That's the positive of having just a little knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. New converts to the Christian faith, when a new convert receives Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the salvation of Christ, the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are so excited about that. At that point in time, they are so anxious to go out and tell somebody else about it. And yet, they have little knowledge. They have just the principal knowledge. Probably they may know John 3:16, but even a new convert may not be able to recite John 3:16. I believe everybody in this sanctuary this morning can recite John 3:16. But that's the gospel message. That's the gospel message in a single verse. And so a new convert has little knowledge, but he's willing to go. He or she is willing to go out and share that simple truth. Why they get so excited? God sees their service. God sees their sacrifice, and He is willing to pour out the more and more knowledge upon them and lead them in a way that they would want to gain more knowledge and be more productive in their testimony. However, the negative is, if you know only a little about your faith, if you know only a little about your Savior, if you have only a little understanding about the gospel message and you desire to do nothing more about that, how confident can you be about your own salvation? How confident can you be about your own relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way to gain knowledge is by studying. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul told young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul tells young Timothy to study, to gain knowledge, that he might be prepared to rightly divide the word of truth. And another way to gain confidence is by practical application. We must be willing to walk and to talk our faith, to demonstrate our relationship to Christ by sharing the simple gospel message with others, the message of hope found in God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, God says this through the lips of Peter, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. With fear, because I want to rightly divide the Word of God. I don't want to lead somebody down a primrose path that leads not to the Lord Jesus Christ, but leads to perdition. I want to be able to share the truth of the gospel of Christ with others. And so Paul says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. I believe that many professing Christians today live in doubt about their faith, doubt about God's Word, doubt about their own salvation. They hope the Bible is true, they hope they're saved, but they really don't know that for sure. They profess to be a Christian because they want to be named among those who want to be righteous and good and kind and considerate of others. But this is not Christianity at all. I want to read that again. They profess to be a Christian because they want to be named among those that want to be righteous and want to be good and kind and considerate of others. But this is not Christianity. This is an I want to feel good about myself religion. Many people who are professing Christians want to feel good about themselves. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to belong. They want to be part of the group. They want to be part of the club. But they probably have very little knowledge about Jesus Christ. If you have no confidence in your faith, if you have doubts about God's word, if you have doubts about your salvation, you're probably not saved. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do you believe God exists today? I'll tell you this, there's many people who believe that there is a God in existence today, but they don't see him as the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't see his word, and they don't see the Bible as his word. Oh, they may accept portions of it, but they don't accept it all. They criticize a great deal of it too. God says without faith it's impossible to please God, and we must ask the question, faith in what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith in what? Well, Jesus makes it clear that we need to have faith in his word. And the Bible teaches us that we need to have faith in the word made flesh, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me deal for a moment with doubt about God's word. People say, "I wonder if all of the Bible is true. What parts are true and applicable to me, and what parts can I completely ignore?" And you know, I see that as foolishness, just asking that simple question. Why can't all of the Bible be applicable to me? Why can't all of the Bible be applicable to me? Paul, speaking of the importance of the Old Testament record to the Christians today, but wait a minute, somebody might say, "Well, the Old Testament's not applicable to me today." But Paul, speaking of the importance of the Old Testament record to the Christian today, said this, "Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Do you think the Old Testament has anything to do with you today? Do you think the Old Testament is beneficial to you today? Absolutely. I love to see heads shaking. Yes, absolutely. That's right. The Old Testament is very important to the Christian today. The Old Testament is full of illustrations of how Satan works in the lives of men to destroy them and how God works in the lives of men to secure them. This is important information for the Christian fighting spiritual warfare today. Every sin that befell the Jews in their day is a like sin that befalls us even today. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as what is common to man." When the Jews were wrestling with the devil back in the Old Testament days, let me tell you, the Christians are wrestling with the devil today. The Bible says it's important to know what happened in the past. Paul says it's important for us to know what happened in the past. There are Christians today that say you don't have to listen to all that stuff written in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is unimportant to the Christian of today. All you need to do is practice the life of Jesus. Love one another, show kindness to one another, and be accepting of all. And then they'll recite the little poem, "Just listen to the Spirit within and follow the good path he leads you in." Sounds nice, doesn't that? That does sound nice. I like that, but that's not necessarily true. If you listen to the Spirit within without consulting the Word of God, the Spirit within will lead you right down the road to perdition. That's the truth. The Spirit of God confirms the Word of God. So if you don't have any confidence in the Word of God, the little voice you hear within is not going to be the moving of the Holy Spirit, but of the human spirit. The human spirit wants to be good and kind and show love to others. Have you ever had the Mormons come? I'm not going to beat up on the Mormons this morning, but the Mormons will come knocking on your door. If you've ever let them sit down and talk to you, one of the last questions they ask you before they walk out the door is they'll say, "Listen, have you asked God whether the Book of Mormon is true?" And the answer is, "Well, no, I haven't done that." Well, they'll encourage you. Ask God. Ask God if these things not be true. And so the unsuspecting prospect, you know, he says, "Well, these young missionary boys are asking me to go to prayer and ask God if these things are true that these young missionary boys have shared with me." And so obviously they must be true. And certainly when you go to God you're going to go to God in prayer. You don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. You don't know anything about the truth of the Word of God. You listen to these young Mormon boys and you go to the Lord in prayer. And certainly, you know what your inside feeling is going to be? It's going to be positive because you want to believe that. These gentlemen, they love me. They care about me. And yet the Mormon church denies the virgin birth, denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they deny the necessity for blood atonement. So the little spirit inside might feel good, and the little spirit inside might seek God's face, but I can tell you this, if you don't have the Holy Spirit residing inside and moving you, and you have no knowledge of the Word of God that is confirmed by the Holy Spirit, you can be led astray. The human spirit loves talk of goodness and righteousness and keeping of the law and attending church and building a stairway to heaven. But it's a stairway that leads down, not up. The Bible, both the Old Testament and the New, provide the truth about salvation. Salvation doesn't come to you by way of feelings, but by way of trust and faith in the God of the Bible, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and in His Word. The Spirit of God will never lead the person who has no faith in the Word of God. So that's dealing with doubt in God's Word. Let me deal just a moment with doubt about salvation. If you don't believe in the Word of God, and let me clarify something here. Believing in portions of God's Word and doubting other portions is tenement to unbelief in God's Word totally. I love these Christian teachers today that pick and choose what they want from the Holy Scriptures just to build themselves a theology that doesn't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ but glorifies the church, glorifies their position and their standing on a particular principle or a particular subject. Believing in portions of God's Word and doubting other portions is tantamount to unbelief in God's Word totally. You cannot accept God's Word proportionately. It is either all or nothing. And if this is your state of mind, accepting some and rejecting others, there is no way that you can ever be confident of your salvation. James chapter 1, James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth or is doubtful is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in how many ways? All his ways. I have met professing Christians that believe one thing one day and something completely different the next. It all depends on who they're talking to. And for they seldom ever study the Word of God or maintain a prayer life. A person once told me, as I was sharing with them from God's Word, the answer to a question they had, and I can't remember exactly what that question was, but I allowed him to read the answer for himself right out of the Bible. I allowed him to read the answer of that question right out of the Bible. And you know what he said? This is imprinted. I remember him saying this. So he says, "My heart just will not accept that." You've got a question? There's the answer. I don't believe that. I can't. My heart won't accept that. And this is the way many Christians live today. They'll say, "I'm a Christian because I like those good stories of Jesus helping people. He was a good person, so I'm a fan of Jesus's. I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure I believe all that other stuff about the murder of children, the misery of the cross, and judgment to come. A loving God would never allow people to be treated that way. Jesus was a good person. That's all I care about. And I want to be a good person like him. Well, you know, that's nice. That's nice. And a professing Christian who teaches that to others, I believe, is casting a stumbling block. Because there's more to Jesus, there's more to God's Word than just that. Any professing Christian that believes this way and teaches others the same is casting stumbling blocks. Jesus said himself, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Being a good person, being a loving person, being a kind person might win you great praise and honor before men here on earth, but it'll do nothing for you in regards to your eternal salvation. You will die and go out into eternity, into an eternity of darkness. When we move away from the foundations of our faith, Christ and His Word, and we begin to listen to others who have no faith, others that cast stones, others who sway with the wind in their doctrinal beliefs, we will never be able to share Christ with in any level of confidence, because we have no confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, nor do we have any confidence in His Word. How can we serve Christ better in the coming year? How can we share Christ better in the coming year? We must have confidence in God's Word. We must trust the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we must have a faith strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find these examples in the life of Simeon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share, Father, in these verses. I ask you, Father, to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon each heart here this morning. Father, those that are living in doubt, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict their heart, that they would cling to the Word of God and hold fast to that truth, Father. As the devil is attacking from all sides today. Oh, he's smiling. He's carrying a Bible. And he's preaching his watered-down gospel. But Father, I pray that the only way that that those that are doubtful, the only way that they're ever going to come to know the truth and be able to stand firm in the truth is by holding on to the precious Word of God. Father, this morning we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 21 says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Let me tell you something right here. He was conceived in the womb. There are Christians today that don't want you to talk about that. They're not interested in that. They support organizations today that believe in a woman's right to do whatever she wants to do. So don't talk to me about God calling somebody from the womb. And don't talk to me about God naming somebody from the womb. I don't want to hear that. So we're not going to talk about that this morning. Verse 22 says, "When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Here's something that many Christians cannot understand and refuse to accept, that God, who is no respecter of persons, when it comes to salvation, shows special consideration for the male firstborn of a family. The male was the head of the household, the spiritual leader of the house, and responsible to God for his family's care. God calls man to be responsible not only for the spiritual growth of their homes, but the spiritual growth of the church. Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus to be presented before the Lord. And verse 24 says, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Let me tell you that every day Simeon was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I ask you this, are you looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus? He's coming soon. He's coming sooner than later. And the Holy Spirit came upon him as he entered the temple. What a wonderful and beautiful blessing and a picture this is. The Bible says three interesting and distinct things about Simeon. First, he was a just and devout man. In other words, he lived honestly before God and he lived honestly before men. He was a man of integrity and truthfulness and faithfulness. The church today needs men and women just like Simeon. Simeon had the testimony of the Holy Spirit that he was both just before men and devout before God. And I ask, can the Holy Spirit say that about us? Secondly, the scripture tells us that Simeon was alert, looking for the coming of the Messiah. His prayer was that he would not die until he saw the face of God. And God confirmed to him that his request would be met. How long did Simeon have to wait before the promise was fulfilled? How long do you think Simeon waited after God had shared that with him before he actually saw the face of the Messiah? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. There are people today, there are even Christians today, who have just given up looking. You know, God tells us to be vigilant, to be looking up for His coming. And somehow we're looking everywhere else but up. And we're living everywhere else but up. How many new years came and went and came again without any sign of the coming of Christ? Yet Simeon never lost faith, never lost hope, and never lost his great anticipation of seeing God's Messiah come to the temple one day. Today, many Christians are getting tired of waiting for the rapture of the church. They've become less concerned about a daily walk with Christ, and God expects above all things for His children to be vigilantly looking for His soon return. In Matthew 24, verse 44, the Lord Jesus Himself, the Creator of the universe, your Creator, said, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not," what? "The Son of Man comes." The Son of Man comes. Simeon was looking for Christ coming every day. He was a man of faith and a man of hope and trust in the Word of God. And finally, he was a man upon whom the Holy Ghost came to rest. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the post of my doors." Isn't that beautiful? Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors. Simeon was just such a man. And because his every day belonged first to God, God blessed him with a special anointing of the Holy Ghost. God not only answered Simeon's prayer, he went beyond his request. Look at verse 27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people.'" It was a wonderful blessing to be able to go to Rex and see our new granddaughter and Marth held her in her arms, and it was such a beautiful thing, you know. You see babies. I know. You always, you know, pastors see many babies. We rejoice in the little one coming into the world. But when it's the pastor's granddaughter coming into the world, I don't know, there's something just extra special about that. But it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Martha held her in her arms. And here Simeon is holding the Lord Jesus in his arms. Might I suggest that not one of us wants to see death until we've first seen, spiritually speaking, God's anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? God says you don't want to leave this world without first knowing who I am. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Simeon not only got to see the Lord Jesus, he also got to hold him in his arms. There are many in this world, and maybe even some in this sanctuary, that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, they've seen some word picture of him, or even had a spiritual experience with him during a church service, or maybe in some other emotional setting, felt very close to the Lord Jesus. May have seen Christ, many may have seen Christ in this light, but they have yet to take him to their heart. You know, They have yet to take Him to the heart. They have yet to allow Him to become the Lord of their lives, to receive that peace and that solitude that comes from knowing Christ inwardly and personally. Simeon not only saw the Messiah, but he held Him close to his heart. And the question is, how can we better serve Christ in the coming year? Certainly not by doubting the Lord's word. We have no idea what this new year will hold for each and every one of us. But if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus Christ holds the coming year, does He not? He certainly does. And if we belong to Christ, we know who holds the coming year. And no matter what burden we will face, we'll not be facing it alone. If you'll take Christ close to your heart and walk each day with Him, trust His word and study His word and have faith unwavering, the serious health problem, the crushing family member, and even the financial burdens will all be met with Jesus at your side. He will guide you just as He led Simeon to the temple that day to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking, you want to serve Christ better this year, in the coming year? Oh my goodness, take Christ close to your heart. Trust His word. Stand firmly on His word and don't be led astray. The only way that you won't be led astray is by reading and studying His word. You know, we have daily breads here that we make available to our congregation. The daily bread is wonderful, but you know, the daily bread can lead you into even a deeper study of God's word and appreciation for Him, if you're willing to go there. Some of us are just willing to wait upon His coming and ride His robe into glory and rejoice. But others are willing to work. They want to serve the Lord. They want to be useful and to be used by the Holy Spirit. I trust that that's your desire this year. But if you're going to serve Christ, you want to serve Christ better this year, you want to share Christ better this year, trust Him. Trust His word. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Trust and obey. That's what the hymn says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, Father. I thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ who's made it possible, Father, for us one day to come where Miss Joyce is, to come where Miss Margaret Johnson is, to come where so many other of our wonderful saints who have served and been faithful here at Powhatan have already come over. They've already crossed over, and they're in Your presence. Miss Honeycutt, Father, no doubt just so excited to cross over and to be present with her family and be present in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What peace and joy and happiness and contentment is there. Yet, Father, for us who are still waiting on the rapture of the church or waiting for our day that we'll cross over by the avenue of death, Father, maybe the corridor of death, or maybe we'll be caught up with the church to meet You in the air. Father, whenever that time comes, Father, before it comes, help us to be anxious about serving You and sharing Your love with others. Father, You just get praise, get honor, and glory. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment, help them to realize that the Bible says, if they'll confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God hath raised, the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father, I thank You for the simple message of the gospel of Christ. But Father, so many times that simple message can be twisted and turned and mocked and watered down and made something other than it is. Help us to be vigilant about Your word and standing firm on Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.